Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you serious?
So hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name's Marcus Bronzy. You're about to kill some more time with us with an E3 special. And we're using the power of the internet and microphones in hotel rooms to bring back Louise Blaine. I'm in France at the moment. You're in LA. It's midnight and E3 has just finished for 2019. We spoke the other day, Louise, with regards to what happened pre the main event. And now you've had a few days in the main section. I don't know. Is it unfair to call it the main part of E3? Because it's like the big conference center do.
I feel like E3 has gradually lengthened over the years. Like it used to be E3, all the conferences would take place on one day,
yeah,
and then E3 would take place the next few days. But now it's over the whole weekend. You've got EA Play on the Saturday, and then all the conferences start on the Sunday, and then you've got more conferences on the Monday. So by the time you actually get to the Tuesday, yeah, and the show starts, you feel like you've already had a mini E3.
Got a mini
before you even get
mini
E3
before
E3.
The main convention, yeah.
But yes, now I've had it all.
Yes.
So it's quite, it's really, do you know what's really exciting about E3, and it's always what feels the most fortunate and why I always feel so lucky, is that all the games that are announced at the conferences, I then get to go and see in more detail, and then I get to speak to the people behind it, and suddenly it's not just about video on screens that are being streamed. It's about people who are actually making these things. And sometimes you get to be in the position that people haven't actually seen anyone play their games, and suddenly you're the first person that's playing their game in front of them, or you know, so they're suddenly seeing people react to them. So suddenly E3 is the human side of video games that we don't normally get to see, and that's, I always find that very, very fortunate. And I guess that's where I'm going to springboard. Before you even ask me what my favourite games are, I sat with a Watch Dogs Legion developer,
yeah,
and played Watch Dogs Legion, which is absolutely one of my games of the show. I think I said I was excited about it earlier in the week. I am more excited about it now, Marcus. I am so much more excited about it now. This entire idea of this Brexitified London, where there's robots doing human jobs, and humans are being put into camps, and people are being removed, and it's this horrible oppressive state, and it's in London, and it's this incredibly created London, which is, it's not post-apocalypse, but it's definitely not London as we know it.
Ooh, why? It's because you were rather excited about this before you went and got hands-on. So,
yeah,
and London as a backdrop for a computer game, I feel like we've, as very biased as a Londoner, I feel like I've not seen enough London over the years. So, you've kind of said this post Brexit apocalyptic London. So, like, Brexit London, like, so yeah, like, what's the detail like? Because in Watchdog games, I feel like there's very high attention to detail. So what's that like?
Yeah, so Ubi's really gone to town on this world. Like, if you go to Trafalgar Square, and there's been all these protests happening, mm-hmm, and there's food banks. So you've kind of got, it reminds me like a little bit of LA in the fact that you have all this, you've got like super rich people, but then you've got people against things.
Yeah.
And you've got sort of major poverty, and you've got all of these different types of people all vying for power, really, and it's a police state basically, and everyone is armed. But what's really cool, and that's the thing, what's really cool about Watch Dogs Legion is the fact that you are not just one hero. Mm. You are not just the one person. You're not, I think it was, it Marcus in the second Watch Dogs? Was he called Marcus? Am I making that up?
Great name.
It was Marcus.
Great name.
It's a great name. Great name for a hero. However, we have multiple heroes. I'm not dissing anything about having one hero, but we have multiple heroes in Watch Dogs Legion, which is why it is Legion. So basically, you are one of many who are against, you know, the state, but what you have to do. So you're wandering around as one person, and I was wandering around as Helen, who is the pensioner that you see in the reveal, who she's well up on her tech. She's got her little sentry gadgets. She's got turrets. She can hack into stuff. But what you can also do is, if you select, it's kind of like previous Watch Dogs games, you select someone in the world and you'll find out about them. You'll find out their name. You'll find out what they do. Mm-hmm. You'll find out what they specialize in. And you'll find out everything about them, what they're doing, what their schedule is. Maybe I saw someone that was going to be in the pub with their wife until 1 o'clock, and then that would have changed as time progressed. And you can do that with every single person you see. Now, that's interesting enough, right? The fact that they've all got that. But then what you can do is you can put them on your sort of your menu of tracked people, and you can bring them onto your side. So you can convince them to join the rebellion. And what you need to do that is you need to do various quests to help them, to bring them to your side. And what you can then do is, once you've convinced them, is then you become them. And you then go through the story. There's five major stories in it, and you go through it as them. So every cutscene suddenly has that person in it. So you could choose anyone in the pub, and then you could take anyone in the pub on your story with you and play with them. You know, that's what Legion is. It brings you the ultimate choice of who you want to play as. And then you can go and personalise them. You can go out and get a London hat. You can get some Union Jack trousers for them. And you can take that into the cutscenes as well. And what's amazing is the fact that you could just, you know, there's three different sort of specialisms. There's the hacker type. There's the sort of run and gun, the sort of solid one, and then there's a sort of different sort of stealth ones. There's three different different types of fighter you can have.
Yeah.
But you can eat, and if you maybe have come to a mission point where someone stealthy is better, then you could just, you know, change it to one of your people that you've sort of hired who is like that. But at the same time, you don't need to do that. You can just play as the same type of character, the same character, and it's got permadeath. So if you lose them, they're gone for good, and you're hoovering up someone else, and you're becoming part of someone else's life. And I only had sort of half an hour with it, but I can only imagine the endless hours that you can have fun with just playing with London and playing with its cars and bikes and using its... The London Underground is, of course, the fast travel system.
Oh, yes.
Marcus, it's incredible. So exciting. Unlike real life, where it's a very slow travel system.
Yeah.
However, in Watch Dogs, it's ace. I'm sorry, I've just ranted about it, but it's excellent.
That's great. So so basically, it's got the real London experience, but without the delays. That's good. That's good to know the tube works.
And if you know you're stuck in traffic, you can just drive and crash. And do you know what was interesting? Playing on the correct side of the road.
Yes.
Driving on the correct side of the road is a brilliant and wonderful thing, and we should get to do it more.
I like that. And I like the fact that you've been in LA for a few days and you're still calling it the correct side of the road.
Yeah, the dev said that I was being quite passive aggressive, but I didn't think so.
Hey, listen, you've got to write it down like that. You sound, if I'm honest, Louise, you sounded very excited about this the other day, and it sounds like it's delivered.
Marcus?
Yep.
Hello?
I'm with you.
Oh, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here, I'm with you.
Oh, you were gone.
Oh, that's the trickery of 4G where I'm in France at the moment in a place where the reception isn't too sexy. So are you back again?
Yes, I've got you back,
perfect,
you're fine.
Perfect, so yeah, I was just basically saying that you sound really, really excited. The other day when you mentioned this title to me, you sounded like you... Well, it was full of promise, and it sounds like it's in that half an hour that you've had to play. It sounds like it's really delivered. So that's Watch Dogs Legion. When's that going to drop?
So that's next year. It's March next year. So 2020 is becoming dangerously full because Cyberpunk, which is my other big game of the show, is coming out in April next year as well.
Yes, so we had the big Keanu Reeves reveal the other day, which has added the power of celebrity into this title that's been really doing the rounds in terms of excitement, inciting conversation since last year at E3. So where are we at now in 2019 with Cyberpunk?
Well, what's really cool is until now, I'd never really understood how Cyberpunk's world was going to work. Mm. You know, I didn't see how it was all going to play out. It all looked very cool with all its neons and stuff. But now I've seen a 40-minute behind closed doors demo of it working, and it's not just beautiful, but the idea of this world where you can be exactly the cyberpunk that you want to be. You can choose exactly how they are, who they are, all the way down to the fact that you can choose a backstory. So you choose a backstory whether you were a street kid or whether you had a corporate background or whether you were rich. So you choose these different backgrounds. And what's amazing is that obviously because it's CD Projekt Red, you're going into dialogue trees, you're going into decision making. This is all based on a pen and paper RPG.
Yeah.
And you are making decisions that matter, and you are given the opportunity to say things based on the type of person you are. So you can see that if you were a street kid, you could say one thing, and even that option is actually grayed out. So if you don't have that background, you can't say that. you can see that you could say it. You know, it's about having this level of choice is astonishing. You can keep sort of delving into these decision trees and these conversations to actually have meaningful conversations with people in the world. And, you know, speaking of meaningful conversations, we need to bring in the breathtaking Keanu Reeves into this.
Oh.
He plays the ghost of Johnny Silverhand, and he is someone that only you can see. So he'll actually just appear in the world and no one else can see him. He just kind of stutters into existence and says something smart and then maybe disappears again and lets you continue on. So he's like this really interesting voice in your head.
What was cool
about Cyberpunk was just, you know, just seeing this world, this incredible light, the amazing contrast between kind of sort of apocalyptic looking areas. We were in an area called Pacifica, which was kind of intended to be this kind of beachside paradise for really rich people, but it all fell through. So all that's left is these kind of concrete facades, and the sort of augmentation community have moved in. So suddenly these are places that people are buying tech, and you've got this amazing sort of LA style light, but all this sort of bare concrete, but also this massive focus on technology, but it's all a bit scuzzy and strange. So it's really, really cool. And that's, you know, before you've ended up personalizing your own skills and seeing what you're going to focus on, or whether you're going to get super strength. So whether you can maybe get to a door that someone who didn't have super strength couldn't pull apart, you know, like they literally, you can see this sort of first person animation of these sort of augmented hands sort of yanking open these doors.
Yes.
Because you've got the power to do it. I mean, it's that kind of thing that you're going to have these choices and you're going to play these things that you're going to think, oh, I'm really glad I put my skill points into this or that or one thing. Or so it's going to be, even in just that one, you know, this one section that I saw, it was cool to be able to see not just the relationships with the factions of sort of Night City, but also the different ways that you're going to be able to do things dependent on the choices that you make.
Wow. It's all I can say.
Was I too enthusiastic?
No, not at
Maybe
all.
Maybe I was too enthusiastic.
No, I think
but it just, yeah. It feels like such potential, such potential.
Okay, right. And this is another 2020 on the calendar, isn't it?
Yes, this is April 2020.
Man, 2020 is looking like one heck of a year. So that's two great games. I've just got to say, what's next, Louise? What else have you seen?
So I also today, my last and final game of E3 was Control, the new Remedy Entertainment game.
Yes.
Which is actually out in August. So you don't need to wait until March 2020
okay,
to play
cool.
this one.
Right, right.
Which is good.
Good.
It's this really cool supernatural action adventure where you play this great character. She's called Jessie Faden, and she has a brilliant leather jacket and great boots.
All about the leather.
Telekin. Oh, it obviously is. And she's got this these telekinetic powers that she can lift stuff up in the world around her and throw it at things. Ooh. And I'm not going to spoil anything about the story, but in terms of the mechanics around it and the flow of it, you're sort of juggling these amazing revolvers and these incredible powers as you sort of dash in different directions, but also slam enemies with throwing things at them. And I'm very excited about this game. I only saw a sort of half an hour chunk, mm-hmm. but it's full of sort of really surreal imagery and really interesting architectural decisions, and characters are doing sort of very interesting things and talking almost in riddles. So it feels like a sort of Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole with superpowers. Wicked. And it's very good.
Awesome.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Awesome. And you're also over at Rebellion as well. I was stalking your Twitter feed. I saw Evil Genius too.
Yeah, so Rebellion, actually, they've got a stack of really good games. So Evil Genius 2 is a layer... So it's Evil Genius 2 World Domination, I think is the name. And it is, as you will guess from the fact that it's got a 2 on it, it is the sequel to the original Evil Genius, which was also a layer management sim. So basically your aim is to be the ultimate supervillain. And basically it's... If you've been playing anything like Two Point Hospital and stuff recently, and the idea of being a villain simulation appeals to you, it's brilliant. It's the fact that you've got this sort of island paradise that you have to hide a, and maybe a casino on or a holiday set of holiday houses, but actually underneath there's all kinds of nefariousness happening, and you're training up minions to do your bidding and send them out across the world, and you're training up minions to be strong and do different things. And but the cool thing is, and it's really, really cool, is that obviously the forces of good, I mean, they don't want you to be a villain, right? They want you to they want you to fail. So every so often they'll sneak in. So what you have to do is you have to build traps so that the good guys fall into like shark tanks or fall through lasers or get blown into shark tanks. So you can even sort of line up different traps so that you can so that you can get rid of the good guys that are arriving to stop your reign of terror occurring. It's really cool. It's we saw a lot of sort of concept design for it, and we actually saw a sort of base level of the game where you were looking at different levels of a base and how it'll all work and how all the minions will work, and they'll have barracks to sleep in, and it's a very cool concept, and it's something that I want to get on straight away. But again, that's another 2020 one. And one that's slightly sooner, I think, is Zombie Army 4. Zombie Army 4 Dead War.
That's the one, yeah.
Now, this is, so the Nazi Zombie Army trilogy was out a couple of years ago. It's been out a while on PC, but they brought it out on consoles as a trilogy. And it's, you know, it's, if you've played any of Sniper's, of Rebellion's shooters like Sniper Elite or Strange Brigade, this is that, but just honed just to slightly more perfection, while the ultimate in sort of Romero style zombies are staggering after you. And it's a ridiculous amount of fun. Like, there's so many zombies, so you constantly feel like you're on the edge of absolute nothing. But at the same time, you've got this kind of dark humour about it too, as you're sort of blowing off heads and they're falling off high heights on top of you, or you can turn on a fan to chop them up.
Yes.
There's loads of cool stuff about it. And it feels like this great B-movie vibe, and there's sort of pentagrams everywhere. And I had a literal blast playing it. It was so much fun. I really, because their shooters just feel like you're properly shooting. They don't feel, some games you play in that the shooting just kind of feels a bit pathetic, like you're not actually squeezing a trigger. Mm. But there's something about Rebellion shooters that just feel just right. And if you like the idea of battling, you know, hordes of zombies, you can play this sort of co-op, or you can play it on your own. And if you play it on your own, it feels more like a sort of survival horror that you're trying to get through, because there are so many. But if you play it together, then it becomes a bit more of a sort of Left 4 Dead vibe. So there's sort of doing things together and telling each other what you're up to and things. But I thoroughly enjoyed Dead Army. It's great.
Good. I do love setting a good old trap for zombies and Rebellion games.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So I've got to ask, what else? Because I know you've been around. I mean, were there any unexpectedly great games out there as well? Because you've kind of spoken about a bunch of games that we kind of and titles that we expected big things from. So was there anything that surprised you pleasantly?
So good surprises. I'll be fast. I'll try and be fast here. But so I got hands on with Mike Bithell's John Wick game, which is called John Wick Hex.
Right.
Now, it's really interesting because a lot of people said, oh, this is John Wick, but it's turn-based. Now, it's not turn-based. It is top-down,
right,
and you are constantly planning your moves. Mm-hmm. But John Wick Hex is all about time. So it's not turn-based in the fact that you keep planning what you're going to do next on a timeline to make sure that, so whether you take a step in any direction takes 0.2 seconds, for instance. Mm-hmm. But say another enemy appears, and it will take them 0.4 seconds to bring up a gun and shoot you.
Yeah.
So you need to work out what you can do in that time that's faster. So it's a little bit like Super Hot, where obviously in Super Hot, you move, time moves.
Yes.
So it's a bit like Super Hot, but top down and with John Wick. And I had, initially I was like, oh, I don't really, like, it took a bit to get on board with.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of different things. You could sort of throw guns at enemies. You could strike and you could take them down. But all of a sudden, it just clicked. And suddenly I was dodging and rolling and throwing guns and picking up other people's guns. Because it's quite interesting. John Wick runs on John Wick rules, not video game rules. So when you're playing a video game, Marcus, and I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but I constantly hit the reload button.
Oh, yeah.
Do you hit the reload button?
I spam the shit out of it. Of course.
Yeah, of course you do. So, but in this, if you slam the reload button, you will lose all the bullets in that first magazine. And you don't have that many bullets.
Ooh.
So it's all about bullet management. So you want to make sure that you get all the way down to your last bullet before you reload. And even that, even adding that as an element is interesting, because suddenly you don't want to take the time to reload, because reloading takes like 3 seconds. And in John Wick time, 3 seconds is the time between you and death.
That's forever.
So you've got to think about what you're doing. It takes you 4 seconds to bandage yourself. You know, you don't have time for that stuff. So it's really interesting mapping out this tiny minutiae on a timeline of how you survive as John Wick. And the cool thing is it doesn't look, you know, like the action adventure you'd expect it to be, you know, sort of massive bullets flying everywhere, but it actually feels, if not more, just as, if not more satisfying to beat 4 goons who all have guns, but you've only got one, but you've still outsmarted them. So that's cool. And another game that I really liked, I don't know if you're into Planet Coaster, which is the Frontier roller coaster management sim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not my kind of game, but I'm aware of it though, yeah.
But they're releasing Planet Zoo, which is where you create a zoo. And they've been working on it for, I think it's 2 or 3 years. And it's not just DLC to Planet Coaster. In the fact, they've done so much work on creating the animals. So the animals will behave exactly as animals should. Like, and they look amazing. They've done all kinds of work on their fur. So I saw some very fuzzy looking giraffes. But genuinely, I think I will lose hours to Planet Zoo, because you've got to focus on keeping your guests happy, but also your animals happy, but also educating your guests and sort of focusing on conservation. So if you like simulation games, yeah. Planet Zoo is like crack.
Cracky. Listen, you've got to have one crack,
they can put
cracky
that
game.
On the, you can put that on the poster.
Put that on the poster.
Animal crackers. That's it. Animal crack. Oh, I came up with a pun and everything.
Amazing. Yeah. So they put a lot of work in. So it's kind of like the tycoon game striving for that kind of animal realism in it.
That perfection. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of, I played that, I watched a behind closed doors demo of the Avengers game.
Right. So
that was interesting.
So we had a little conversation about this. So there's been a lot of hype around Avengers this year, clearly, because of the movie universe. So the first thing I feel like a lot of people are going to compare this to is the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how Square has portrayed this in the game. What did you get from the trailer that you saw in comparison?
So the trailer, I can see, I initially felt like, I think we talked about it earlier in the week, that none of, they don't look the same, they haven't got the likenesses.
Okay.
But in this behind closed doors demo, so the trailer that we saw, saw Avengers Day happening.
Yes.
And going very, very wrong.
Yes.
And Captain America dying.
Yes.
Now, what I saw was this bit at the start of this section of the start of the game, but I saw all the playable sections. So
right.
I saw the Thor action sequences as he whacked goons with Mjolnir as he spun this hammer and threw it and did the sort of very sort of typical Thor things of sort of that sort of undercut as things fly, as goons fly off into the air, baseballs, you know, that kind of thing. And all of that actually made me feel a whole lot better about the Avengers. And I wish that they'd actually shown this gameplay because it's really slick. It's Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal. They're obviously working very hard at creating something godlike where you actually feel like a superhero. Mm-hmm. So the Thor stuff, it was all flying capes and hammers and spinning and electricity. The Hulk stuff was great. It was all picking up goons and smashing them off each other.
Wall running
along areas. And then there was the sort of Black Widow sequence where she was battling the Taskmaster, who is the villain that's put up, that's kind of created this awful sort of situation where San Francisco's in flames.
Okay.
And there's all her, she's shooting with her pistols and she's all somersaults and quips and she's voiced by Laura Bailey, who's been in Uncharted. And then you've got Troy Baker and Nolan North.
Troy and Nolan,
Exactly. You've got these big characters, and then there was an Iron Man section where you're flying as Iron Man and you're hitting people with your repulsor blasts and things, and it's kinetic, it's cinematic. The stuff that I was looking at looked like it was directed by Michael Bay, but in a good way. It was massive amounts of destruction. You know, all of these things make me feel a lot better than that initial trailer.
Yeah.
You know, that it makes me think, if that's this is probably just the tutorial for how to work these characters.
Okay.
And if that's just the tutorial, what's ahead of that is a sort of single player to four player campaign, but then an end game, literally, which is a bit like sort of Destiny's sort of games as a service thing. So I think it will be really interesting to see how they do that. But the moveset that they have for these characters and the combat and the sort of witty puns as they send people into the sort of abyss, it was all a lot of fun.
Mm.
Like, it was all, and there was a lot of people really enthusiastic in my demo. There was people that were absolutely loving it, and they were playing it there. You know, they were playing
Good.
A real build of the game.
Good.
And I found it a shame that people couldn't see it, because I think people would have felt a lot better than just seeing these faces that aren't quite the faces they recognize.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard, even though, you know, there is a general awareness that when it comes to Marvel, when it comes to any kind of computer game, there are different universes. There can be computer game universes, there's movie universes, there's TV universes. Like, there can be an infinite number of universes where there's different characters. But I feel like because of the impact that the cinematic universe has had, that's something that Square had to be careful with and when they delivered this game. But it sounds, though, like that sounds really good. I mean, how is the tone? Is the tone as comedic? Is it a bit more straight-laced? I mean, how is it compared to the Avengers that we see in Endgame? Because that's going to be the main comparison.
You know, I'd say it's kind of on a par, and I think it's a hard thing. I think it's a hard thing for them to do.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not always going to land. I'll be honest, it's not always going to have that superhero landing that we're quite used to.
Mm.
But there was a lot of humor. They were sort of bantering back and forth. Thor is very sort of arrogant, as Thor is.
Yes,
I have the strength to save you as I, you know, pull this lorry off you, and I. You know, it made me smile. You know, it's not the same level. And the problem is it's not the same level of writing that we've seen from, you know, 22 Marvel movies.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same. But I will say it does have a good tone to it. You know, that these, they work together, this lot. They have their own dialogue. And I think something that we'll get used to seeing, you know, if you play a game for a couple of hours, you know, we played Spider-Man and it wasn't our Marvel, you know, version. It was our own Spider-Man. Mm. It was a, you know, PlayStation Spider-Man. And I think that's something that I think if Avengers continues to be as and plays as well as it looks, then I think after a couple of hours, we'll probably be quite used to these new versions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the fact that you're comparing it to last year's Spider-Man, that was one of my favorite titles last year.
Oh, so good. So good.
Because it just worked. You know, a lot of work went into making it feel seamless. So hopefully we can get an experience that's, you know, on par with that. Because, you know, that's a great title. Oh, wow. Sounds like you've had an amazing time. An amazing time.
Nice.
Two doses of Keanu. I've got to come back. Is John Wick, how Keanu-y is it? Because everybody knows Cyberpunk. He's definitely in that. I mean, there's all sorts of articles. There's people asking about how intimate you can get with Mr. Reeves in the game. How Keanu-y is yeah.
Unclear on John Wick. There will obviously, I didn't see any cutscenes or anything. I just saw the game itself. Right. Obviously, there will be cutscenes.
Yeah.
So there will be story. And what's also cool is the sections that I was doing, you still had the same amount, just going back to that bullet thing.
Yeah.
You still had the same amount of guns in your next level as you did in the previous. So it's not like you just kind of landed with a fresh set of guns. Like from start to finish, I just have the guns that you have and you just have the ammo that you have.
Awesome.
So it's cool. Speaking of shooters, I played Borderlands 3,
which
is looty, shooty, brilliant fun. I played as Mose the Gunner, who is the third. There's four new Vault Hunters. We already saw the Operative Zane, and we saw a Siren as well, and now we've got Mose the Gunner. And Mose the Gunner's special ability is getting into a mech, a bit like D.Va. It's called the Iron Bear, which is a lovely, cuddly name. And you can totally personalise this mech, so you can make it so that your right trigger will fire, you know, grenades, and your left trigger will fire a flamethrower. You can absolutely personalize because they've got all these super customizable action skills now in Borderlands that wasn't there before. So you can really customize her, and there's tons of guns, and there's whole new areas, and you can now mantle and you can slide and feel like a bit of a badass. But another game where I felt like a complete badass, and I will finish here, was Doom Eternal.
Oh, please.
Oh, my words, Marcus.
Yes.
You have suddenly... Doom Eternal has, whether you're chainsawing enemies or you're swinging on monkey bars and landing on them and doing glory kills by sticking a shotgun in their mouths, and you're squishing skulls and you're shooting things off things, and it turns out you've got a flamethrower above your left shoulder, and it just feels incredible. You've got all these extra moves. You can climb up stuff. You've got a double jump. You've got a dash, this mid-air dash that you can do, and everything wants to kill you. But suddenly killing them back feels like this just dance of absolute joy. I mean, it's gory as anything.
Yeah.
Exploding heads, taking things to bits. But I played, the level that I played was on Phobos. The Doom Slayer was on Phobos. And it just was like amazing. Yeah, the shotgun was brilliant. It felt properly dizzyingly fun. I cannot wait to just plug it into my veins and just murder everything. I cannot wait.
And you can put that
in a nice
on
way.
The poster.
In a nice way.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, that can go on the poster. In the nicest way.
I'm
a completely
possible.
Balanced individual.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Completely sane.
Completely sane.
I can do other things. I enjoy nice walks, nature, that kind of thing. But I also like Doom.
You also like stepping on heads. So basically, they've turned it up to 11 again. Because I feel like every time you get on a Doom title, they've taken it up another level. Also, when you're kind of in that Wolfenstein kind of feel of game, you know, the hyper violence and the crazy storyline is all adds together. So yes, I'm looking forward to more of that from Doom. Great, great stuff. Right,
lots of good games. Lots.
So I'm gonna ask you a question that everybody hates me asking them. I asked it loads last year throughout E3 to everybody that I spoke to. I think we actually had this conversation, but I'm gonna ask you now. Favorite title across the last few days. I know it's a hard question, but I've got to hit you with it.
It's so close. The thing is, it's so close between Cyberpunk and Watch Dogs.
Right.
So close. Like, both of those, I cannot pick between. Oh, I didn't even get. Oh, okay.
Go on.
One bonus one. Yeah. You get a bonus one, which is Dying Light 2.
Oh, shit. Yes.
I saw a behind closed doors demo of Dying Light 2, which has even more zombie parkour, even more amazing post-apocalypse. So it's 15 years after the last one, so everything's gone kind of greener, mm-hmm. and people are still sort of existing, and there's all kinds of new zombie enemy types because obviously the infection has evolved.
Obviously.
But what's especially cool about Dying Light, which is absolutely in my top five, is, again, with the choice. So you've got dialogue options, you've got choice that genuinely matters, and if you make choices, certain choices in the game, entire regions of the game will open up or not happen, or you'll end up with some enemies. All dependent on the choices you make. So the way that they're trying to say that, I mean, if you say, but I want to see it all, they'll say, go and play with someone else. Go and play in someone else's world, because that's the way you'll do it, because it's got co-op. But yeah, I was very, very excited by Dying Light 2. It's very, very cool. But yes, but that's not in my top two, but it is very cool.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Cyberpunk 2077, Watch Dogs Legion, both out next year. Both look absolutely brilliant, and I can't wait to see more of them at Gamescom.
Okay, right. So you've given us two. I feel like squeezing you. I feel like saying gun to your head if you had to pick
Cyberpunk.
One. Okay, cool. Fair enough. I love it. I love that. Yeah, it's definitely two. Definitely two. I can't really split it. Gun to your head? Yeah, Cyberpunk. All right, there you go. Is it?
You put a gun to my head.
Yeah, fair enough. Is it the Keanu factor that's helped? Or is it just... Is it because... Because you know what, it is great to see some big celebrity endorsement in gaming, because I feel like it does deserve that level of celebrity, because it is, you know, we're talking about the biggest media format in the world. So is it that, or is it just because you've seen enough that it?
It's because I've seen it now. I understand it.
Yes.
Now. Do you know what? If I had heard that Keanu was in it and I hadn't seen the demo, I mean, it wouldn't be in my top five, obviously.
Yeah.
Because sure, you can add a celebrity on something, but that's kind of. It's almost like Cyberpunk doesn't even need Keanu.
Yeah.
You know? Keanu's just like shiny, shiny, sparkling icing on an already delicious cake of murder and choice and augmentations.
Mm.
I think it's that potential. I think it's what appeals is the choice. The world is beautiful. The potential is there. You know, you can jump on your bike and you can choose whatever night neon synth you're going to listen to as you drive across Night City and think about what you're going to do next and where you're going to go. And it's that potential just feels so potent and exciting that Keanu Reeves as your imaginary friend is almost just as an aside.
Keanu Reeves icing on the cake. I'm a big stan of Keanu, especially this year. He's kicked ass, literally.
So I'm
really excited for that. Right, so thank you for the E3 update. 2019 sounds like it has been a heck of a year. Loads of games.
It has.
I know this
thank
sounds
you for
like
letting me rant at you about them.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I know this sounds really obvious, but the fact that, and I said this in the last episode, the fact that there's so many titles out there, you know, it's good to know that we're going to have a nice end to this generation of consoles. That we're not getting that kind of wind down when it comes to gaming, where, you know, you just don't get any big releases. It feels like all of the everybody wants to go out with a bang as we kind of move over to the next gen of consoles next year.
Absolutely. It's going in the right exciting directions.
Mm. Right. So speaking of directions, what directions are you heading in now? The bar, probably.
My bed is the direction I'm going in. For
really?
At least 9 hours.
Oh, so you're not out partying? No, end of E3 partying. How very sensible.
Well, I was out eating lots of things and drinking caprinas earlier. So,
nice.
But I have a little bit of a day in LA tomorrow before my flight. So
awesome!
I'm sure I can find something.
Yes.
To get up to that isn't related to video games for the first time in a week.
Yeah. Well, there's loads to do in LA. Hey, I'll tell you what. Get down to that Venice Beach. Beautiful. Get some snapshots.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
Oh,
yeah.
Get some sun.
Indeed. Oh yeah. All right. Yeah, it is. I tell you what, I'm in France now, so we've had a bit of sun, but it's going to be nothing on the West Coast sun that you have right now. But enjoy yourself. Thank you very much for giving us another update on E3 2019. I can't wait to get our hands on some of these titles that you've spoken about. And we've got to get you in the studio at some point throughout the year as well. You're more than welcome to pop down and kill some time with us, especially when some of these titles drop as well.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Okay. Thank you for having me.
No problem, no problem. This has been How to Kill an Hour. This is part two of our E3 special. If you haven't listened to part one, go back, download it, check that out as well, because there's loads of great gamey chat as well from the lovely Louise Blaine. I've been Marcus Bronzy, and you, obviously, have been the Shiny Demon. Can we, by the way, that's your Twitter handle before I let you go, and your Insta handle. Why is that? For our listeners.
Oh, it's because once upon a time we were all 17 and foolish.
Yes.
Sometimes we listened to Tenacious D and there shined a shiny demon in the middle of the road and we thought that was cool. And then suddenly...
Yes.
Suddenly I'm on podcasts and the radio and people are saying, where can I find you on Twitter? Yeah. And I'm saying, @shiny_demon is where you will find me.
Suddenly you're verified under that as well. So you can't even really change that now.
I got the old blue tick next to Shiny Demon, which feels very fortunate. But yes, I'm Shiny Demon in both places, should you wish to find me.
Awesome. Have you got an email to accompany that as well? Please tell me you've got Shiny Demon email address. You'll have to put it on the show.
I did.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. I hope you still have it. Remember the password for
I
that.
Do.
Anyway, so this has been How to Kill an Hour. I've been Marcus Bronzy alongside the Shiny Demon, aka Louise Blaine. Plenty of ways to kill time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.